Oh, I thank God for another opportunity to be in His house tonight. I am thrilled about what God has in store for us, and I hope that it be a blessing to you. We'll go ahead and get into the Word tonight. We'll start at the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter, and we will read verse 29. While you're getting there, we'll speak the word of the hour. Now I want you to say it back to me. Let me hear you say it. I want you to say this word with me tonight. Fire.
Fire.
One more time. Fire.
Fire.
You see, the revival that has taken place was good. I appreciate the service of the evangelist. And if you paid attention to what God was speaking through him throughout the entire thing, there was one resounding word that stuck out, and that was manifestation. And when I begin to think about what it is that begins to manifest in our life, the word fire came in my spirit. And I just want to read over some scriptures tonight and give you some kind reminders about what the fire is, what it does, and what it's supposed to be doing in your life. So let's go ahead and get started tonight. Verse 29, Hebrews chapter 12. For our God is a consuming fire. God consumes what makes a person remain an unbeliever and makes them a believer by the things to which he purifies in our lives. The fire makes us free from sin. Power over Satan we possess. And we get life eternal out of that fire. Conviction, when people feel it, I like to think of it as standing on the other side of the fire. There are a lot of people that are afraid of change. They want deliverance, but they're afraid of what it would change in their lives. And I can testify to that personally, that for a long time I wanted to be free from drugs, but I did not know or understand what I could do to be free. I had people recommend me to go to programs, to go to therapy, to try weaning myself off doing this and that. And you know what? Every single method I ever tried to investigate did not work. There was something that I needed that was greater than what man could offer. And that was the consuming fire of God. When the consuming fire of God came into my life, it converted me from unbelief to beginning to believe in Him. The consuming fire took all the things that were not of God and left a man that could be worthy of God dwelling inside of him. He opened up new chapters for me in my life. He caused my speech to be different. He caused my whole thought process to be different. He took some things that were habits in my life and changed my habits to be ones that were better. He took some things that was engrafted in my character all of my life, and by His fire, He took what was once this way and made it that way. What are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about this fire wants to consume things in your personality. This fire wants to consume things in your physical body. This fire wants to consume the thoughts that you think and the very actions that you take in life. And I hear people tell me often they want to be on fire. But in order to be on fire, you have to be in fire. All right? In order to be on fire, you have to be in fire. And if we are in a bad place in our life and we don't embrace change and we don't accept God's will, then guess what? We're afraid of the fire. I've been afraid of my spiritual self sometimes out of fear of what Spirit Jared would show up to do at church. There's been some times I've been fearful of what I would begin to do when I would sing or when I would preach the Word of God. But every time I let the fire consume me, then everything that comes comes out of me is able to help and bless somebody else. I know this is going to sound crazy, but God wants the church to not only be on fire, He wants us to be in the fire, and to be in the fire is to be in the center of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We're going to go a little bit deeper in just a minute, but I want to clarify, when you're saying you're on fire, you're saying you're in the fire, and when you're saying you're in the fire, you're saying, I want to be in the center of His will. I'm getting pumped up. I'm trying to. Woo! He's a fire. I'm excited. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. We're going to just take our time and go through this and let God lead us. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was what? Not consumed. This is the second thing God gave me for tonight. God wants to speak to you through the fire. He wants to speak to you through the fire. There have been some times when I had entered into prayer, I had ran out of words to say, I'd ran out of things to pray for, but I felt my spirit burning inside of me. And when I make that expression, what I'm really saying is I didn't feel the need to get up. I felt the need to go on in. How many of you's ever been in that place before? There was a time where I did not want to get up. I didn't want it to be over. I was still hungering for something. There was a desire in me to want to go deeper into His anointing. And I know that life gets so busy at times that it's hard to even find the time to get down to pray. But if we want to get to the center of God's will, we've got to have a hunger and a burning inside of us to get to where He is. Because until you get past yourself, you can't get to where He is. Until you get past your fears, your worries, your burdens, you're not going to get where He is. Because when you get to where He is, guess what? All that stuff you were carrying with you will not be there. Glory to God. All the stuff that, all the pain, all the troubles that we have, when we get into the almighty anointing of God, we were worried that we were going to hurt our back if we danced before the Lord. But then when you're in the middle of the anointing, all of a sudden your feet begin to move. Who am I talking to right now? All of a sudden you're sitting there and you're just celebrating the Lord. And then all of a sudden tongues begin to come out of your mouth like you never even expected them to. You just begin to bless Him. Oh Lord, I bless Your name. And then and all of a sudden, there's a desire for more. Because let me tell you, when you're out in the world and you get in that bitter, cold, terrible place, you'll want to stay where you can stay warm. I want to stay warm. It took me a while to make this decision, but I began to evaluate, because I think of weird stuff like this. Lord, if I had to choose whether I had to spend my life being cold or being hot, which one would I rather be? And I know sometimes that when we get into summer, we sweat and we stink and we don't look pretty and we sweat our clothes to death. We get the sweat spots on our back. When I go to the gym, I look like a hot, sweaty mess. But then I recall about what it's like in winter. When you're in the snow and you're in the ice, you can't move the way you want to. You can't go where you want to go. You can't travel the way you want to. And you're at risk anytime you ever try. How many of you have ever tried to drive on the ice even though you knew better? You just wanted to go rent that movie. You just wanted to get out. How many of you have been in that place? Listen, there's a lot of people that are sitting in the sanctuaries today that are cold and don't know which way to go, but they know they want to go somewhere. But until we're exhibiting the fire, that we begin to cause a pathway to be opened up in the midst of bitterness and cold hearts, we'll know then that they have a desire to be where it's warm. I think that's why the Bible said that He set us up to be a city on a hill, a light to the world, something that could not be hid. He said He'd rather have you hot or cold, but chances are we all know He wants us on fire. This lukewarm business cannot stand in the house of God. I'd will to God that we come in and either just make our mind up, we're going to do this, or we're not. And if we're not, I'd rather just go home and not waste God's time and not waste your and I's time. I'd like to get in here and get on fire. I'd like to get in here and begin to get busy for the kingdom of heaven. I'd like to not worry if I had to say, I wish we'd get down and pray without 10 other people telling me, now is not the time, brother. I wish I didn't have to worry if I wanted to get up on a pew and decide to myself that I'm going to have a little walk. I wish I didn't have to worry about being so dignified all the time, because fire does not care where it goes, and where it goes, it consumes, and the Holy Ghost wants to consume it all. Oh, glory. So let's think about this. Jared, stay on track. Somebody say, Jared, stay on track. A bush that was burning but not yet consumed. This was the first, one of the first revealings of the mystery of God's fire to man. Because, think about it. Had the bush been consumed by natural fire, then it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. It's hot up there in the mountains. And dry brush naturally catches fire. So for it to catch fire, but yet not be consumed, it's trying to send a message, don't you think? Oh, Lord. Are we ready to go on? It gets better as we go on. I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm just going to tell you. 2 Kings chapter 6 at verse 17. And I'll read it for you. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. This was wrote right here by somebody far wiser than I, but I felt it necessary to read it because it was powerful. Listen to this. To the servant, there was a need of a more manifest vision. And for this, Elisha prays, and God seeks to grant it, that the servant may become as confident as his master. So think about this. It is not that the troops may be gathered that Elisha prays. They are there already. But that the servant may have a seeing eye bestowed upon him to discern how well he and his master are protected. When you begin to step into the will of God, let me tell you, you step out of the consuming fire and you begin to step into what I like to call the protective fire. There's a consuming fire that wants to come and change the things that leaves you cold and bitter. And once you surrender those things to God, that as you step out for him, he begins to put a hedge about you. We read about this protection when we see Job. We read about it again when we refer to the shield of faith. Faith is something that does not come by natural sight, but that which we would perceive in our spirit towards God. So when he was having this vision of the chariots of fire and the horses around him, he was not seeing it with his natural eye, but he was beginning to see it by faith in the perspective that God was trying to reveal to them. It may not look like we have a great big fire in here tonight, but if you begin to exhibit the signs and wonders by faith, then people are going to begin to open their eyes to see the consuming fire that wants to come and save their soul. We look kind of silly if we knocked on somebody's door and they open the door and we say, your house is on fire, you better leave. And their house isn't on fire. They're thinking, why are you telling me it's on fire when nothing's burning? How silly is that, right? But if we are under the covering of his power and we're obedient and yielding unto all he has us to do, then when you say the end is nigh and you need to be saved, your words are no longer your words. Those words become a consuming fire to the sin in others. And that is what we call conviction. Conviction is like the wildfire that comes along when somebody least expects God to speak to them, to move in their life. When God convicted me when I was a really young man, I never saw it coming, but I was in a regular Wednesday night service. I don't even remember the song that was being sung, but everybody was beginning to get up and shout and lift their hands and doing what they felt led to do, and then all of a sudden I felt something begin to happen inside of me. I felt my heart begin to beat a little bit faster. I felt my imagination begin to wonder, well, am I saved, or do I need to pray, or what do I need to do? And my heart began to race and anxiety began to rise up. God was beginning to speak to me and to cause me to see that there was something that needed to change in my life. Listen, the Holy Ghost is great to manifest. It's great to shout it and to dance it. But unless the message you're sending with your anointing isn't telling somebody they need to be saved, then we're sounding brass and tinkling cymbals and only making noise. God wanted us to come in and be like a consuming fire, that we would not take a stand for sin and say it's okay, but go like God does unto sin and say it's unacceptable. You cannot do this. It's an abomination to God, and we will not have it. Oh, man. Woo. Oh, how many in here tonight are taking a stand for what you believe in? How many of you are drawing the line to people that take the Lord's name in vain? How many of you are taking a stand against even those around you that you would call friends when they would speak ill of God? Are you not standing up for your Lord and your Savior? Are you not going out like a fire to try to get people to see that God is real, that He burns alive inside of you? Listen, if He's burning in you, it's the only thing on your mind. So on the same token, if I come up and lit my dear brother's pants on fire, how long do you think it'd take him to move before he started moving? Well, if he's alive, chances are not very long. How many of you have ever welded before or saw a welder weld before? You see those sparks begin to fly, and if they don't have the proper work gear on to reflect the fire, and if they don't have their pants in the right position, they'll get a little bit of fire inside of their boot. And you can get the most tough guy in the world, but you get a little bit of that fire inside of your boot, it's going to cause you to say, "Oh, Lord, I'm on fire." So guess what? That fire wants to shake you. It wants to dance you. It wants to praise you. It wants to get you moving and get you busy about life. It didn't want you to sit down. It didn't want you to give up. It didn't want you to doubt God. It wants you to be on the move for what you desire, because he said if you would see it by your faith, you could have it. And he said if you'd be a ruler over a few things, he'd make you a ruler over many. I'm gaining dominion over a lot. You know what that, can you imagine what that picture looks like? I'm burning more out that I don't need. Listen, if they don't love you the way you need to be loved, you don't need them. If they're not going to be your friend the way you need a friend, you don't need them. Woo! There's been some times I've felt all alone. Oh, but God came down and reminded me, I'm about to start preaching in here tonight. I'm not alone. I'm not without a friend, and I'm not without His blood in my life. And when the fire comes, it reminds me that I'm not dead yet, that life isn't over, that I've still got something to do and a place to go. Lord, consume me. Somebody say that tonight. Lord, consume me. Be careful what you ask for. He may just tell you to quit running your mouth. Be careful what you ask for. He may just require you to stand up and praise Him next church service. Be careful what you ask for. He might convict you to come up and repent. Lord, consume me. You already asked it. We've already put it into motion tonight. It's too late. Lord, take everything. Oh, gosh. So we find an instance of a father and a son walking up to a place where the father was going to sacrifice him as his love and devotion to God. And he realized, We have fire and we have wood, but where's the lamb? And when he thought he was going to have to give up his own, God stepped in and said, you don't have to. And I hear the words in that scripture. He said, God himself will provide. And not too far down in the thicket, you find a ram caught in by his horns. And I find it no coincidence that without Jesus Christ coming to redeem us from sin, we would have not had hope. There had to be a lamb to make the fire meaningful. Right? Let's go on. Say, let's go, brother. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let me read this to you. God showed us to not be afraid of the fire when we take a stand by faith. For when the fire would destroy the enemy, it will protect those who serve God. Oh man, you can be in the same house with somebody that's causing you problems, and if you're serving him, he said, no weapon formed against you would prosper. I felt like I had to give that to somebody. You might be in the house with the devil himself, but if you're serving God, what would cause him to be destroyed is going to cause you to be protected. They did not bow in the day to the king when he wanted them to obey the ordinance, and we don't need to obey our government when they say that God needs to be more quiet in this nation. We need to be like David did when he danced down the streets and say, I'm going to be all the more vile, because you've got to show and demonstrate just how good that God has been to you. I'm glad that he doesn't require us the self-same sacrifice, because none of us would have got on the cross. I'm glad he didn't require a self-same act of obedience, because none of us would have survived the temptations of Satan. I'm glad he didn't require of us to take the stripes on our back. I'm glad we didn't have to wear the crown of thorns. I'm glad we didn't have to die and go to the heart of the earth to try to fight on behalf of the salvation of mankind. But he come that we would be able to have power over sin, not to have to pay for sin, that we would be made more than overcomers, consumed by his blood, and set free from sin, that we be made whole again and born again out of sin to be a new creature. You see, when I was saved, I had a funeral. Many may have not been in attendance, but I had a funeral. And I didn't put my sins in a casket and say, you just put it in the ground so I can remember it. I sent my sin to the crematorium and said, I don't want to be who I used to be. I don't want to be an old drug addict anymore. You take everything that I was and burn it, set it aflame, and let me never be as I was. Amen. Now, I'm not saying this just for people sitting in here. I'm going to say this for people on the radio and the internet in the future, because this is where I really need to say this for. There are people that want to be Christians, but they don't burn the bridges of their past. There are people that want to be on fire for God, but then they go and do whatever they want to all the time and then come back in and expect everything to work for their good. Come on now. Somebody help me preach for a few minutes. We have got to learn to burn the bridges of who we were, because you can't go back, you can't be an evangelist and live your life in the club. Not that I think anybody goes to the club anymore. Wherever it is that the cool kids go, so-called cool kids anyway, we can't be on fire Christians and have bad attitudes. All right? We can't be good Christians and not love our neighbor. There was somebody that was so offended one time, they said, how many times do I have to forgive this guy? How many times? And Chris August did a song, 70 times 7. Think about that. That means, inasmuch as they have the power to do to you in an entire day, it is nothing God wants you to hold against them. If there was one that stood at the right hand of God to receive Stephen for what he did, then it must be meaningful to forgive those that don't know what they're doing. If they're not saved, listen, they don't know any better. And we've got to stop holding people that are not saved accountable like we hold ourselves accountable. Until they are saved, they don't know any better. You've got to get them to see like Elisha wanted his servant to see, just where God is and how protected he was. You've got to show people how good God is by letting them open their eyes by how you live your life around them. And your prayers for them will cause them to open their eyes to who God is and what he can do for you. Is this good for you tonight? Can we go on? I don't want to wear you out, but it's too good to pass up too. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Do you see we're taking a tour through the scriptures and where he showed the fire? And consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water even that was in the trench. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. The fire of God will destroy every natural and carnal thing in us, like it or not. Think about it. If it even consumed the source to which would put it out, then God's saying, I'm bigger than carnality. I'm bigger than their attitudes. I'm bigger than their hatred. My Lord, I feel him moving. I'm bigger than their rebellion. I'm bigger than what would try to put you down. I am stronger than your weakness. I am greater than your insignificance. I make you worthy when you are unworthy. He is our everything, closer to us than our own blood family, closer to us than any feeling in our body. He created us. He put his spirit in us when he formed us in the world, and all he wants us to do is simply acknowledge him. To acknowledge him in all our ways. Think about that. How could it even lick up the dirt? If you've ever saturated dirt in water and you try to put a flame to it, what does it normally do? Fizzles out, right? And when you have a fire on the ground and you want to put it out, what do? You throw the water in the dirt and it's gone. But here's what God was trying to reveal in this mystery. He was saying, I'm going to take what would normally put you out and I'm going to fight your battle. I'm going to take care of the water that tries to put out your fire. I have seriously had people that I never knew insult me for no reason. Okay? I have had people mess with me, be ill against me for no reason. I have had people that I've done much for turn their back on me. For no reason. I have had to defend myself when I have been falsely accused for no reason. How many of you know what I'm talking about tonight? I have had arguments come up out of nowhere for no reason whatsoever. And let me tell you, the devil's going to come and try to put out your fire. And I'm not talking about just while you're at church. I'm talking about when you go home tonight and when you're home on the weekend. He is coming to try to put you down, put you out. The Bible says to steal, kill, and destroy. But in essence, he's trying to put out your fire. Because listen, no fire equals no desire. No desire equals no obedience. No obedience is our pathway back unto sin. He said if you walked and you knew what to do but you didn't do it, it was the same as sin, right? He wasn't condemning you because you did nothing. He was condemning it because of what it leads to when you are slothful before him. Listen, a lack of prayer is a lack of protection. A lack of praise is a lack of boldness. A lack of love and compassion is the evidence of the Spirit of God not being inside of you. He said you'd know when the Spirit was in somebody when they loved you like they loved themselves. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry about discerning too hard. If somebody won't even talk to you, bless you, say hello, be kind to you, and worship God with you, then chances are you don't have to wonder. And if we come into the house of God and we can't even worship together when we know each other and love each other and know we all go through things, then guess what? Something's lacking in us. Too many times we blame God. Well, if he had just brought them up there to sing that one song I needed, I would have got up there and showed them how to praise God. Really? Yeah, I've said that before too. Oh, if somebody just come give me the microphone, I'll preach the house down. If somebody just let me play the drums, we'd get this thing going. If somebody would let me preach, we'd get some things changing. Listen, there's been a lot of ideals that have tried to change how church is and tried to change tradition. That's where doctrine came from. That's where religion came from. And that's where tradition came from. God didn't care about religion, tradition, or doctrine. He just wanted to consume and to save that which was lost, with the goal of fellowship. You see,